We continue on through the book of Mark this morning, picking up at verse 24 of chapter 7 of Mark. Mark 7, verse 24. And here is the very word of God, and so please give it your careful attention. Jesus arose and went away from there to the region of Tyre, and when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, and yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "Because of this answer, the demon has gone out of your daughter, so go." And going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed, the demon having left. Amen. Congregation, if the attitudes and words of our Lord that we just read didn't disturb you a bit, then you weren't paying attention. What we hear from Jesus is unlike anything we've heard from him before in the Gospels. Everywhere he goes in Israel, he's healing people who ask, especially those who beg, and he's casting out demons. We've seen he has great compassion on desperate people all throughout the Gospel, even those who don't believe in him. And yet here is a woman who comes to him. She's begging him for help, and she actually believes in him. Matthew records that she addresses him as the Son of David. She believes he's Israel's Messiah, and yet this time he ignores her. And not only does he ignore her, he insults her. Now, as many have noted, this type of story lends authenticity to the Gospels, because if you were making up a religion, you would not add this story, because it is somewhat uncomfortable. Christ ignoring a sufferer's cry is unlike anything we've seen, and it really contradicts what we've seen about Christ thus far. Now, it's interesting how some have dealt with this problem. There are some well-known feminist authors who have written articles that this was Jesus' time to learn and grow, that he needs to learn that women have insight also. And so their summary of this passage is that if Jesus can grow and learn, so can we. Others on the more orthodox side have suggested the problem here is we cannot see what's going on. In other words, Jesus is speaking this with a twinkle in his eye, with a grin on his face. And therefore, you were there, you would see what the woman saw. And that is that he doesn't really mean what he says, but he's saying it in such a way to provoke a response. Others have suggested because Jesus uses the word for dogs that refers not to the wild scavenger dogs that were considered disgusting, but the household pets. Especially in the Grecian world, they had household pets, not as much in Israel. But because Jesus used a very soft word for pet, this wasn't really an insult. Now, none of these are satisfactory solutions, but what they all do is see a problem that you need to see. The first solution, that Christ had a low view of women, I think you can dismiss quickly. What about the one that he had a twinkle in his eye? Well, the problem with this is, for one, we would have the Lord having a little bit of fun at a sufferer's expense. Jesus never responds to suffering with a lightheartedness or a joke or a twinkle in his eye or a wink. He has great compassion on those who are in the most suffering. And so that is not a good answer. Plus, do we really want to say that you cannot understand a passage unless you were there, that the word of God is not sufficient, you know, the old saying, you had to be there, then it would raise the question on what all the passages mean, because none of us were there. And yet the written word is sufficient to give us the truth of what we need. And so we need to understand what's going on, that he does ignore her, and then in a way he insults her. And so let's look at why. Mark introduces the setting from verses 24 through 26, and then he gives us the dialogue from 27 to 30. Now the dialogue takes center stage, even over the miracle, which is unusual. The miracle itself is more after the fact, and so the key will be the dialogue. The setting is that Jesus leaves Galilee because he's tired. He needs rest. He's had little sleep. If you've been here for a while, you've been following along how busy the schedule has been. He's been up many nights. He's been drained by the amount of people that are always following him, asking for help. He's also had a very difficult confrontation with the religious leaders. He's a man, so that would be emotionally draining also. And so he needs rest. And so he leaves for the region of Tyre. Some of your translations add Sidon. It's about 25 miles northwest of Galilee. And it was on the Mediterranean coast. And if you want rest, that's a good place to go, right? Now, what's interesting about this place is it was Gentile territory. And so Mark notes that Jesus did not want to be found there. In other words, he's not going there to do ministry. He's going there to rest from ministry. He needs a break. And of course, his disciples who are with him need a break. Now, as an aside, if Jesus needed to get away from people and rest, well, you know where that's going, right? We all do. Now, we're not sure whose house this was, but somebody offered a house for them to stay. But as he was trying to get to the house, as we would say incognito, to get that rest, somebody who had visited Israel before recognized him, and so the news soon spread that he was there. And that's when we're introduced to this unnamed woman. She hears Jesus is near, and she seeks him out. Mark describes her as a Syrophoenician. That's about as Gentile as you can get. Matthew describes her as the Canaanite. Her history is the Canaanites from the Old Testament. And she's dealing with a very horrible situation, as all you mothers might imagine. Her little girl, and the word in the Greek is for a little girl, her little girl is demon-possessed. Now, we've seen what demon possession can do to people, so we can imagine what life would be like for this mother. She knows Jesus is Israel's king, the Messiah, and she also knows he likes to heal people. And so she finds where he is, and she falls at his feet, and she begins to beg him to heal her daughter. Now, falling at his feet shows her desperation, but also her humility, as well as her great pain. Now, notice how Mark adds the word repeatedly. This is that tense that she did this over and over. And that really adds to the problem because Jesus is ignoring her over and over again. Remember the woman in Israel who had a flow of blood? She's in a great crowd. She touches him and he heals her. And he even singles her out. Now compare that with this woman. She's the only one there. There's no one to distract him at all. And yet he is ignoring her as she begs him over and over to heal her daughter. Matthew records that the disciples actually asked him, would you just heal her so she can go away? And so what that leads to is a dialogue which is maybe the most unique in the Gospels. The Lord finally speaks after she begs over and over, and he speaks in a metaphor to explain why he's not responding. Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, the Lord is not calling her a dog. This is a metaphor, and they understood metaphors. But it did put her in a very low place. It was somewhat of an insult. You see, what Jesus is saying is that the children of Israel are the children, and the Gentiles are the dogs. Jesus was called to the nation Israel. That's where he would spend his 3 years. And after he rose again, he would send the apostles out to the Gentile world. And so what the Lord is doing, he's honoring God's election of Israel. Israel would have the first chance to be ministered to by the Messiah, who had chosen them to be a special people throughout the Old Testament. And so remember what Paul said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, which goes to who first? The Jew first, and then the Greek, or the Gentile. And so the Lord is not ignoring her because she's a woman. He's ignoring her because she's a Gentile. She's in Gentile territory, and he did not come to go to the Gentiles. He came to go to the Jews first, and his apostles in his name would go to the Gentiles. And so in this metaphor, he is saying, it's not proper to give the children's bread, the ministry to the Jews, to the Gentiles at this time, is what he means. Now, before we consider the woman's response, I want you to note that she understood the metaphor. And if that stands out, it should, because the disciples never seem to get it. Every time Jesus speaks a metaphor to the disciples, they're always asking him, what does that mean? And yet this woman has insight right away. She knows what it means. And you'll see that women in the Gospels sometimes have more insight than the men do. And certainly in this situation. Notice also that she does not skip a beat in her response to this. Now, I'm probably like you, the type of person that it's always about a half hour after every conversation that I know the right thing to say. And I'm always thinking, man, if I would have been there, if I would have thought of this now. But it's always too late. But she likely was prepared for this. She had already discerned the problem of a Gentile going to the Jewish Messiah asking for help. And so she was very prepared for this answer. Now, how could she have responded? She could have said, how dare you insult me like this? How dare you compare me to house dogs under a table getting scraps? See, you have to understand that we always read about how much the Jews despised the Gentiles. But you have to understand in the ancient world, that went both ways. The Gentiles despised the Jews. The Jews were considered very strange people. They had these weird food laws that we've talked about. They were called atheists because they didn't worship any of the Roman or Greek gods. And they lived way out in that desert that nobody wanted to be in. So they were looked down upon. So for this woman to accept what Jesus is saying is to put herself at a place lower than the Jews. And so notice how she responds. Is she offended? Not at all. She responds, yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. She's agreeing with the metaphor. She is saying, my people have persecuted your people for more than 1,000 years. I don't deserve any good from you. I have no claim as a Gentile on your promises. You were the Jewish Messiah, and so I am coming to you as an unworthy outsider. Her response shows her great humility. But it doesn't only show her great humility. It also shows her great insight into the Lord's character. She sees something in him the disciples have not yet seen, and that is his character is so gracious that it will extend to the Gentiles. Remember how some of the disciples wanted fire to come down from heaven on those who are not purely Jewish, even the Samaritans, let alone what they expected Christ to do to all the Gentiles. But she sees something in Christ that they had not yet seen. And so what she says is, you must have even more grace for us. Even if you poured out all your grace on Israel, surely you have crumbs left over of your grace to give to this Gentile. So I know the bread belongs to the Jews, but surely you have more love, more grace to give, even after you've given everything to them. And so she shows she understands God's grace better at this point than the Gentiles. She doesn't appeal to what she deserves. She appeals to his generosity. And that taps into a truth about Christ. And notice how the Lord responds. He's so impressed with her faith that he says to her, because of your faith, the demon is now out of your daughter. The woman did not need him to even come to her house and make sure it happens. She believes right away. She leaves. I'm sure she rushes home. And as you can imagine, this little girl would be exhausted. So she's lying on the bed, but the demon is gone and she's lying calmly. And so the dialogue is the key, with the miracle being after the fact. Because what we have here is a foretaste of the Gentile mission. After Jesus rises again, he'll send his apostles out, and many people like this woman will be saved and will believe in Christ and will be part of God's true church. And that includes you, by the way, because the gospel mission reached all the way to where you lived. So what do we learn from this strange encounter with this woman? We learn four lessons. The first one is the faith that saves must be humble faith. Jesus ignored her for a while, but remember that Jesus is ignoring lots of people around the world who are praying and using Jesus' name. For example, Jesus won't be used for deals. People often pray in making deals with God. Jesus will not hear those prayers. Jesus requires people to humble themselves and admit that they are sinners, that they need salvation. And so people are praying to Jesus right now, maybe millions, for all kinds of things they want in life. And yet they're not humbling themselves to believe in what he offered, which is salvation. He's not hearing those prayers. He's ignoring those prayers. And so when you approach Christ, it must be in light of you're a sinner that needs him as a savior. Otherwise, he will ignore your prayers also. And so the woman shows us how to approach Jesus, to admit we do not deserve the grace he gives. Secondly, the faith that saves relies solely on Christ's mercy. Psalm 86:5 says, "For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all who call upon you." We don't know if that woman had ever heard the Old Testament, but she seems to be aware of this concept, that Jesus had so much mercy that he was abundant in mercy. She didn't trust in her wit, and she was quick-witted. She didn't trust in her tenacity, and she had a lot of it. She only relied on the mercy that Christ has for sinners. And that is a good news for you, isn't it? No matter what you've done in life, if you come to Christ, no matter what kind of life you led, you may not be like this woman. You don't have a spiritual background. You don't know how to do this Christian thing very well. You are simply to admit your need, that you're a sinner that needs forgiveness. And Christ has abundant mercy. That means arms wide open for all who call upon him. Think about it this way. The Lord was so moved by her plea for help that he was willing to forego the limits of his ministry this time. Even though he's not here yet for the Gentiles, because you've cried out to me, I'm going to make an exception for you. And he gives her the same mercy he offered his people, the Jewish people. And so here he is in a Gentile land, just wanting rest. And yet he opens the doors for this woman to receive because she relied on his grace. The third lesson we learn is for you Christians, and that God has more grace for you than you have sin. You ever wonder if God tires every day of you or your confessions? Don't you tend to work on the same weaknesses all your life? Don't you ever wonder if his grace is running a bit thin or even running out or maybe so busy somewhere else? Yet we learn here that God's grace is limitless. He has more grace, abundant grace, than we could ever ask or think. So whenever you're tempted to think that you're wearing on God's patience because you confess the same sins, you ask for help, that is not from God, that's from the evil one. The mercy of God is abundant, beyond what we can imagine. He has unlimited sympathy and unlimited love for all who call upon him. And so you can go to him every day. And then the fourth lesson is, we learn from this woman that spiritual insight can come from the most unusual places. Because this woman has more insight into Christ's character than the disciples who had walked with him more than 2 years now and listened to him. And so that teaches us not to look down on any of God's people. You do not have to be an adult. Sometimes children say out of the mouth of babes, they have great spiritual insight. You do not have to be a man. You do not have to be a pastor. You do not have to be a Christian for many years or from a Christian family. You do not have to be healthy. Sometimes it's from the unexpected, the disabled, the young, those who are new in Christ. You ever in a conversation and someone says something? This happens a lot to me. And I'll go home and I'll think, I never thought of it that way. What a great insight. I've been a Christian all these years. And that was new. And so do not be haughty and think you cannot learn from the least. Because the disciples learned something from this Gentile woman. So as we close this morning, remember, though the woman is an example of faith, she's not the hero of the story. Jesus is the hero of the story. He's the one that responds to her plea. He's the one that has the power over evil to cast out a demon from a girl. That's the same power that freed you from your sins when you asked. See, this woman was banking on Christ's power, that he could actually do this, but also on his grace, that he had enough mercy to extend to this Gentile. Banking on Christ's grace. Now, that's a good thing to do. Those are good odds, because they're 100%. And so let us learn from her what she teaches us about our Savior. Amen. Let's pray.